welcome back to another edition of Drop the Mids Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Primetime Productions. And today we have an awesome guest, another goalie. Our second one, I think, in like 3 weeks, which is pretty sick. From the Rockford Ice Hogs, former BU Terrier, Drew Comesso. Drew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's midst of the season, getting ready for playoffs. A lot of playoffs in different sports. So yeah, life's good right now.
I gotta ask you, man. You had that unbelievable save, potential save of the year. How's the hand feeling? How you doing with that? And you're gonna be back on the ice soon.
Hand's doing good. Yeah, it obviously hurt, and you know, you like to make saves a little bit simpler than that, but sometimes you gotta make them like that. And, yeah, luckily nothing's broken, so I actually played the night after.
So what was it? Was it right, like bare skin, or like what happened with that? It was kind of hard to tell. On the video.
Yeah, the best way I would describe it is just getting like a fastball or really hard shot just off your hand. Yeah, it's kind of just open palm, so it wasn't too smart, but at least the puck didn't go in the net. So
gotta do what you gotta do, man. Hockey guy.
That's right.
Yeah, man, I'm glad to hear the hand's doing good. You were back in there again. Like I said, obvious save of the year candidate, have to, you know, gotta be up there. But man, you're having a solid year. In 33 games, you've got a 265 goals against, 906 save percentage, with two shutouts. What would you say has been the biggest adjustment going from the college ranks? Obviously, Hockey East is loaded, but jumping up to professional hockey in the AHL?
I would say the first thing would be speed. I think everyone can skate really well, and everyone can shoot the puck really well. I think in college, there's a little bit more of a gap between, you know, the best players and then, you know, the guys that wouldn't play as much. I think here it's really well-rounded. There's not a bad player on the ice. And yeah, really just the accuracy of the shots and stuff like that. It took a little bit of an adjustment for me, as well as the speed of the game. I think also too, and you know, in college, I was used to playing every game, right? And, you know, you just kind of know you're playing. And yeah, pro, there's a lot of different factors outside the rink that play into it. So yeah, really just adjusting to the differences is, it's been a challenge, but it's been one that I think I've adjusted to pretty well.
How's the adjustment been as far as, you know, living arrangements too? You're obviously in a new city, a new place, little bit different from Boston, Mass, right? And Mass, what's that adjustment been like? And I know you got a couple guys that are, again, former teammates, Alex Vlasic, your roommates with Mikey. How has that adjustment been for you?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest adjustments has been outside of the rink in the living situation. I was super fortunate to go to BU, and living in Boston is, it's tough to beat that. And, you know, yeah, it's definitely a change living in Rockford. There's not as many things to do and stuff like that. I'm fortunate. I live with two great roommates, Ryder Rolston and Mike Hardman, two of my best friends. So I honestly look forward to coming home every day and just sharing laughs with them, and doing things with them. It's every day. It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think a big difference from pro to college is you just kind of find things to fill your day with. You have a lot more time, which is really nice. So, yeah, it's been an adjustment, but, yeah, I think I'm getting used to it now.
You mentioned being roommates with Mike, absolute clown. I mean, we had him on, man. That was the most I've laughed in a long time. Dude's just an absolute clown. Has he tried to prank you yet? And if he has, any good ones he's gotten you with?
Yeah, he is a goofball. he acts a lot younger than his actual age, which keep things fun in the locker room and at home. So
yeah,
he's gotten me good a few times, a few good pranks. We'll keep off the off air, but he's just fun to live with, and something I didn't really expect. I got invited by him at the beginning of the year to live with him, and I didn't really have anyone to live with, so you know, I was like, you know, sure, why not? And I'm really glad that I did. We're actually living in Boston together this summer, so it'll be nice to live with another hockey guy, guy with NHL games under his belt, for me to learn from, and yeah, just to kind of push each other every day because we both want the best for each other.
Yeah, man, are you gonna be skating in that 3-on-3 league? Man, I got the chance to watch some of that hockey. You know, Coyle was there. Riley Duran. I know Mikey played in it. It's phenomenal hockey, you know, in such little space. Is that something that you're going to be doing, or do you train outside of, like, do you have plans to train outside of that?
I tend to stick away from the 3-on-3 in the summer, just because it's tough for the goalies. You kind of just get shelled, and pretty, you know, specific training regimen. So, you know, sometimes I'll hop out there, but it's not ideal for goalies. I'm fortunate. I have a really good skating setup in the summer. I work out and skate at BU with a ton of Bruins guys like Jeremy Swayman, Charlie Coyle, Jai McAvoy, you know, just a bunch of guys. So it's nice to skate with a lot of the pros around, and also get the chance to work out with some of them too. For me, a younger player that really wants to learn from everyone, it helps a lot.
Yeah, you mentioned skating at BU, man. This weekend, your former team punched their ticket to the Frozen Four. They're going to be traveling to St. Paul. Have you gotten to watch any of your former teammates, some of your buddies? And what makes them such a dangerous team down the stretch? I mean, I was going down the roster of guys that you played with, and again, you know, McCarthy, Gallagher, you know, to name a few. There's a bunch of other ones, Cade Weber. What makes them such a dangerous team, and what do you remember playing with those guys?
The one thing that sticks out about those guys and why they're so successful again this year is just they always put the team first. And, you know, you don't always find that, especially with really good players like that. And that was, I feel like, the difference that we kind of made the turn as a program last year was just the selfless hockey that was being played. And Coach Pandolfo has done such a good job of just, like, reinstilling the culture there. You know, I can't speak highly enough about him. And yeah, all those guys are still there in my class. Some of my best friends, I still talk to them pretty much every day. And I'm pumped. I really hope they can get it done. And it's going to be fun to watch a lot of good teams in the Frozen Four this year.
Yeah, that was my next question, man. Playing for Coach Pandolfo, obviously a former pro. He had an unbelievable career at BU. To get in a little bit more into it, like what has made him such a great coach? What makes, you know, a lot of these guys, they're great NHL players, but Coach Pandolfo has been able to turn into a, you know, a teacher, a coach. What makes him so great to play for?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it spot on. He's such a good role model. He's such a good person away from the rink. He handles all of his business on the ice. You know, as a goalie, you kind of have a unique relationship with your head coach because you don't really work with him directly one-on-one as much as, you know, say the forwards or the D do. I think Coach Mandolfo and I got really close last year, and, you know, I went to him for advice, whether it was on or off the ice, and he was always there. And he's just such a great person, and he's the guy that I know that every player in that locker room wants to play for and fights for him, which I think is huge in success in college hockey is having a coach that's like that. And to be honest, he checks every box, and he's one of the best coaches I've ever had.
Yeah. A lot of people just speak so highly of him. We've had a couple of BU guys on. They said the same thing, you know, just can't speak highly enough of him. He's a great teacher, great role model. But I want to go back to your early days of starting to play hockey and then eventually getting into playing goalie. When would you say you fell in love with the game of hockey? And then when did you make up your mind that you wanted to be a goalie and get puck shot at your head?
I've always loved hockey. I grew up on the South Shore, and you know, hockey it's pretty popular there. A lot of kids play it. And I think I just grew up playing knee hockey, loved the sport, loved watching it on TV. I started playing for the Bay State Breakers really young. I actually started as a forward. So I got cut the first year, and then I ended up making the team the second year and was still forward. So I started off just liking to score goals and things like that. And actually my older cousin, Nick Camesso, he was a goalie, and he was like someone I really looked up to in the hockey world, just going to his games and watching him play and things like that. And I just picked up the position. And a few years later, I was the only goalie on our team, I think for 5 or 6 years. And it really helped me to develop, play every game, see a lot of pucks. And I've really just stuck with it since.
Was there a point in time that you like really knew you had a legitimate chance to play like high level hockey? Like at what point did you know, like, I have a legit for like chance of making it pro even, or even before that, Division I? Was there a certain point in time you kind of knew?
I feel like you know, you never really have the satisfaction of like thinking you made it. I think,
yeah,
I'm always kind of just thinking of to get better, and it goes by really fast. Looking back at it, I think really my first like big opportunity to kind of prove myself was probably the USA selection camp, like the U15 camp. I think I had a really great camp there, and I spoke with you know, some of the coaches and stuff there. I think, yeah, that was kind of the first time where I came out and had a really good performance. And then going to St. Sebastian's, playing there was amazing. And getting recruited to the national program was the decision that I kind of took, that, you know, I was saying to myself that I was all in with this hockey stuff, because moving away from what I think is, you know, the best high school in the world, all my best friends, yeah, in such an amazing spot. It had to take, you know, somewhere like the U.S. program to do that. And I'm really glad I made the decision.
Yeah, man. And you mentioned before you got to the U.S. National Development Program, you played for some really elite programs, like you mentioned. The South Shore Kings for around this area is phenomenal hockey, right? And you mentioned St. Sebastian's, which is one of the best high school hockey programs, maybe the best high school hockey program in the country. You know, both powerhouses. How much of an impact did the Kings and St. Seb's have on your development?
Absolutely massive. I started off first going to St. Sebastian's, and I actually enrolled there just for the school part in seventh grade. Obviously, I knew I'd love to play for the hockey team one day, but just the way that they develop, you know, great men off the ice and in the classroom and things like that. My family and I were really drawn to that. Just, you know, developing great people and, you know, great young men. So I started off there, and yeah, obviously getting to play at Seb's was huge. You get exposed to those big crowds really early, you know, really hectic games. And Seb's is a hockey school, and there's a lot of pressure. And I think as a ninth grader, that's something that you're not really prepared for, but it was something that really helped me develop. And I developed a ton there. And that was when I also started playing for the South Shore Kings, and an organization I think really that speaks for itself, with all the players that have gone through. I mean, you know, I played with guys such as Brett Berard and Matty Beniers. You know, we had some loaded teams with the South Shore Kings, and I think there's a reason that, you know, all those great players are attracted to a program like that, is just the success they have and how professional they run things really speaks for itself.
I got to ask, man, playing at St. Seb's, besides the crowd of St. Seb's, I've been to a few games and they're insane. What would you say one of the most crazy barns that you played in at that point in time, as far as like other schools, what would you say is like the craziest you played in?
There's a lot. And yeah, a lot of schools have great fan bases. I'll give it to Belmont Hill. Our rivals, they would always have great fans, you know, playing there, whether it's at our rink or their rink. Always had a great student section. Rivers also, we open our year up against them. So I could always count on, yeah, Rivers having a great student section as well. My best friend from BU, Cade Weber, played there. So we're always, you know, poking fun at one another and, you know, about whose school is better. But yeah, I'd say those two schools were the ones for me that stuck out.
Yeah, man. So you mentioned you played for the National Development Program. I was going through this list, dude, and I was mind blown at some of this roster. Just to name a few, I'll name a few on forward defense. And then, I mean, Jack Hughes, Matt Boldy, Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield, Matty Beniers, Cam York, Sanderson, Thrun, Faber, and then guy Spencer Knight. I mean, those are just to name a few. I could have named tons more. What was it like going against some of these guys each and every day? And what did that do for your development?
Yeah, I think you go there as a 17-year-old moving away from your family, and to play, you know, with guys like that it's incredible. And there's obviously the U17 team, the U18 team. So my first year there, I was really learning from a bunch of those guys. Having Spencer Knight there for me was huge, because I knew how talented he was, how good he was. And, you know, being able to watch him and learn from him for a full year was just massive for my development. And yeah, I think the U.S. program is, it speaks for itself, you know, all the great players that they produce. And I think, you know, my biggest years of development came from those 2 years at the NCDP, really just the first years, it's all about work, and you really learn how to have a work ethic, really. And I've never worked so hard in my life. I remember that first year. And it really, you know, makes you into a man. And yeah, it speaks for itself, the amount of great players that come out of that place. It truly is a hockey factory, and they develop great players and great young men from there. So I really enjoyed my time there, and all the people and the players that I met there.
Yeah, you mentioned that program. You know, they turn boys to men. There's a lot of messages they try to instill in you. As far as like off the ice goes, another huge adjustment, moving away from home, living with a billet family. You know, what was your experience like with that? Like, how much of a culture shock was it being in a completely different new place? What was that experience like? And did you have a good experience with your billet family?
It was really hard at first. I was so fortunate. I had such an amazing billet family. I still talk to them all the time. I'm seeing them this Friday. Nice. They're really like extended family for me. But it is hard. You know, no matter the situation you're put in off the ice, I think not a lot of people think about that aspect of it, is, you know, you're still 16, 17. You know, you're a junior or a sophomore in high school, you know, leaving your family for the full year. And it's not easy. You know, you got all your best buddies at home, you know, going to prom, going to school dances, you know, football games. And that's stuff that you just don't get to do with the U.S. program, just because of how busy the schedule is, how many games you play, and how everything is really revolved around hockey. So, yeah, the first year, I won't lie, it was really hard off the ice. I think the second year is a lot better, just because you're closer with the guys and you've kind of gone through everything together. So, you know, at that point, you're just all bought in, and you really begin to love it. It was amazing experience. Just looking back at it, I'm so thankful that I made the decision to go there.
Yeah, man. I look at it too. Like, I left, obviously joined the Air Force at 18, leaving home. I can't even imagine what that feeling is like. You mentioned 16, 17 years old, like going away from your family. And that it's a huge respect I have for, you know, the kids that do that, because it really is. People don't think about that stuff. They just look at the on ice stuff. They want to look at statistics. They want to look at that. But like, that's a huge impact on a 16, 17 year old kid, being away from your family at 16, 17 years old. Like, that's a huge, you know, you grow up pretty fast at that point.
You really do. And they tell you that going in is one of the biggest things you'll learn that first year, is time management. Because obviously hockey is so big, but you know, you don't factor in that you go to school too. So I remember we'd get up at 6 and we'd go to school from 7 to 11. So it was half day every day, which was really nice. Not a lot of people think about that aspect. So yeah, we were fortunate, just half days every day. And then we'd go to the rink from 12 to 6 p.m. and it's just training and working out and skating. And that's every single day, you know, 5 days a week. And then the other days you're playing. So it's a program that's not meant for everyone. Like, you really have to be bought into your hockey career, developing and, you know, playing for your country. There's really nothing better truly in the world. So, it's definitely an adjustment, but, you know, it was one that, took a little while to get used to, but you know, once I did, it was really awesome.
Yeah, and after your time there, you ended up choosing BU, again, a hockey's powerhouse. You grow up in Mass. You're either, you know, there's BC, BU. Those are the two powerhouses in Boston. What went into that decision to choose BU? Were there any other schools that were kind of in play, or and with that being said, after choosing BU, like, what was it about Boston University that drew you there?
I grew up a BU fan really my whole life, going to the Bean Pond stuff. For me, it was my dream school. I always knew that, you know, one day if I had the opportunity to go there, that I would. And when the opportunity kind of presented itself, it was a no-brainer for me. I was, you know, obviously talking to other schools and you know, looking at all the options that I had, just to make sure I covered all the bases. But yeah, once I went to BU, it just felt like home. I really loved it. The facility in the rink there is absolutely amazing. The dorms, really everything about it. You know, 3 of the best years of my life were spent there. So, yeah, I'm really happy I went to BU. And, it was really a childhood dream of mine.
You mentioned you're a South Shore kid. You grew up a BU fan. You just mentioned the Bean Pot, man. Talk to me about what it was like playing in those games. Obviously for any kid that, you know, loves hockey growing up in Mass, it's like you've gone to a bean pot. I mean, I remember growing up going every year. What was it like playing in that, the atmosphere, the preparation for it, you know, the camaraderie of the school, like what was that experience like for you?
It was amazing. All four schools obviously have that game circled on their calendar every year, that first, you know, the first Monday in February. So,
yeah,
it was really surreal. Just, being able to play in that was so awesome. Another dream come true. It was just so cool. And, yeah, I just remember before the game, I wasn't too nervous. It was really just excitement that I had to, kind of tune in, just because I was so thankful and so excited to be able to play in such a cool game. And, it was a great opportunity and, a great experience for me.
Want to go back to, you know, BU, obviously they're going to be competing, in the Frozen Four. Do you still keep in contact with those guys, Case McCarthy, Luke Tuck, the Hudson brothers, all guys that are going to be pro eventually? What makes those guys so special? And again, you mentioned a guy that's another Blackhawks pick, Ryan Green as well. What makes those guys so special? And obviously, I got to ask, BU's your pick, I assume, right?
Yeah, of course, BU's my pick. I think there's all those guys bring, unique traits. I think when you watch a guy like Lane Hudson, the video kind of speaks for itself with Lane. He's such a shifty and competitive guy. We still stay in touch, and he's one of the most skilled players I've ever played with. I've been, fortunate to play with a lot of guys, and he sticks out, and he's special, and I think when you just watch him, if you were to watch a college hockey game and, not know who he is, I think he's going to stick out to you pretty fast. You got a guy like Luke Tuck, who's a power forward. I think his game is going to translate really well into pro, when he makes that jump after the season. And he's got one of the best shots that I've ever seen as a goalie. He gets it off really fast. And I'm excited to watch him develop and things like that. And I know he'll have a great career, just like his brother's having.
Do you think Luke is, would you say he's a little underrated at this point? Like, I just feel like he's, and again, not to take away from any of the other skilled guys at BU. I mean, obviously Celebrini's having a great year. Ryan Green's great. I just feel like we don't talk about a guy like Luke Tuck enough. He's a hell of a player. Again, he's a big boy. He has a hell of a shot. Would you say he's like a little underrated at this point?
Yeah, I for sure would. Yeah, absolutely. And I know when he goes to pro and has success, I'll be one of the least shocked guys to hear that. I've been, I played, 5 years with him, with 2 years at the program and 3 years at BU. So yeah. I know what he's all about. And I'm excited for him, for his future. It's going to be awesome.
And one other thing that stuck out to me about your time at BU, you wore an A, which again, I think a lot of people would just kind of look over. But I mean, as a goaltender, man, that's a huge honor. Like, being one of those major leaders, how much of an honor was that to, be voted as a captain, wear that A for that season? And again, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool. I think as a goalie, it's super rare too.
Yeah. You see it sometimes in like high school, but like other than that, man, I rarely see that ever.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a true honor. Like I mentioned earlier, BU is my dream school, and I wanted to hang banners in there. And I think our first 2 years as a team didn't go the way anyone would have liked. We kind of struggled a bit, and we weren't up to the BU standard. And kind of that summer, I said, I'm all in this year. No matter what it takes, I'm going to be a great leader, a great person, a great hockey player, and really just put everything into this program. And that summer I had to make a really tough decision. I the 2 years prior, I'd missed a lot of games with BU, with the World Junior Tournament twice, going to the Olympics. I missed over a month of hockey there. Mm-hmm. So that's huge chunks of the seasons that I've missed. And, the World Junior Tournament was happening again that summer, and I chose to stay at BU, and to take in the freshmen and show them, kind of how the standard's going to be this year. And, as a leader, I wanted to give our team the best chance to win a national championship and to win Hockey East that year. And kind of just show the coaches that I was all in with this team. And, After summer, it went really well, and Coach Pandolfo pulled me in the room and, you know, told me that I was going to wear a letter, and it was really just amazing. And, I was really happy I got the opportunity to do that.
Sounds like, man, sounds well-deserved. Like I said, putting that much time, you mentioned, you know, the World Juniors, you mentioned the Olympics, take me through those experiences, separately. Two unreal things that a lot of people will never get to play in games like those. Take us through some of your favorite moments, both of the World Juniors, the Olympics. What sticks out most in your mind about that experience, those experiences for you?
I think any tournament that you're wearing the USA colors, it's special. Whether it's the World Championships or World Juniors or Olympics or anything, just to wear, the USA flag on your chest and those colors, it's really hard to describe. It's something that I take a lot of pride in. And yeah, I was super fortunate to play with so many great players in those tournaments. And they go by really fast. You obviously look forward to, the huge tournament like the World Juniors and things like that. For me, the Olympics came pretty fast. It wasn't something that I was expecting. The World Junior Tournament got canceled a few weeks earlier. Yeah. So I was actually talking to one of my best buddies, Jake Sanderson, was on the World Junior team. And I remember as we were leaving on the bus, I was like, hey, what if we get a chance to play in the Olympics together? Like, would you go? And he was like, yeah, I for sure would. Just, one more opportunity to play with each other. And, Matty Beniers was on that team. Just a few of the guys that played the program together, just because, we knew that our opportunities to play with each other were coming to an end, just because the only thing that's left was the NHL. So, we all said we'd love to go. And I was, super fortunate to get the opportunity to make the Olympic team and going over to China for a month, playing amazing games like that. And, to be honest, it's kind of funny, but the thing that, sticks out about the Olympics and what I remember is just all the off ice stuff and how fun it was with the team, getting to go to the other events. And obviously the hockey on the ice was amazing and being able to play in the games, but just the whole Olympic experience and getting to go to the opening and closing ceremonies was things that stuck out to me.
I can't remember what year. Did you get to explore at all? I haven't even been to that part of the country. How restrictive was it? Like, were you pretty open to like going wherever? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, there was a lot of security, especially with the United States and China. So they're pretty protective over us of what we could do. But we did get to go to other events and cheer other USA athletes on, which was awesome. We had an amazing setup with the apartments. Everything's brand new. Everyone's living together. So, it was so much fun. Like there's a lot of things to do. And, just for me, it was just eye-opening how talented the other athletes were in their respective fields. And I gained just such an appreciation for everyone that was there. And I really just tried to meet as many people as I could and take in that whole month while I was there. It's really awesome.
You mentioned some of the incredible athletes, right? Like you were kind of amazed at, their abilities. Were there any athletes that you got to meet that you were kind of like, holy shit, like I'm meeting, whoever it may be in your eyes, like someone you're not starstruck and by, but like, you were like, holy shit, I'm meeting this person.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think, you don't realize it. You're kind of meeting, I forget how many USA athletes were there, but you're meeting 200 strangers.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, saying like, hey, how you doing? And then, it's kind of after when you realize like, hey, they've won 3 gold medals or something like that. I remember the opening ceremonies, everyone's wearing the exact same outfit. So you're all in the white USA thing. And, we're walking to the opening ceremonies and seeing the fireworks go off at the Nest there in China, and I looked over next to me, and then I looked over again, and it was Sean White.
So
I was walking next to Sean, and I actually got to grab a selfie with him and catch up with him and just kind of get to share a few moments with him. Was really cool. Just such a legend, such a nice guy.
That's so sick, dude. Yeah, that's like the exact, I was like, you just look over and Sean White, dude, like that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I few more questions for you. I 2020, your draft year, you're selected 46th overall to Chicago. Man, take us through that moment. What was going through your mind? What was it like being able to celebrate with your family? Just take us through that moment, what you remember.
Yeah, it was one of the best feelings of my life. It was a ton of hard work led up to that. I was super grateful I got to share with my family too, just because, I owe so much of it to them and they're such a big part of it, of the process as well. So, and to get selected to an organization like Chicago was just, the cherry on top. They've been first class in every way imaginable. And, I really can't say enough good things about the organization. It was just super cool. And, I know there's a little art project I did in second grade of the things that you want to be when you're older. And, I still have it. I still have photos of it. And I put a few pictures of Tuukka Rask because I wanted to be a goalie in the NHL. And then I put a picture of BU's logo because I wanted to play there. And then I don't know what was going through my mind, but I must have been a bandwagon fan at the time in second or third grade because I put a bunch of Blackhawks logos.
No way, dude.
Yeah, because I wanted to play for that team. So
no
after
way.
After I got drafted by them, it was pretty cool that I knew I was going to have the chance to, one day throw that logo on and kind of check off, all three of my childhood dreams.
And again, how it's crazy, man. You were the second goalie taken behind Askarov, who's another great talent as well as you. And then your buddy, who we just talked about, Luke Tuck, goes immediately after you. What did you get to like talk with him? During that day, like do you kind of razz him a little bit for going ahead of him or what?
A little bit, yeah. I think we're both super happy. He was also my roommate at BU. All 3 years that I was there. So it was pretty funny how that played out. Just cause we went through it together. I remember the day before leaving the dorm room and, just tell each other, good luck and, we love each other. And, he was actually my first call. Cause I didn't know he got drafted right after me.
Yeah.
Just because, you're celebrating and, Chicago calls you right away.
Right.
You're on the phone. So I FaceTime him and he had his Montreal stuff on. And I realized he's the pick right after me. So a little bit bragging rights, which is pretty funny.
It's like a full circle moment, man. Like it's sick. During your process, did you have any, the guys that I talk to that get drafted and you like being a goalie, I would especially expect this from, did you get any like bizarre questions? Like, people joke around about, what kind of animal are you? Whatever, those weird questions. Did you have that experience at all?
I don't think I had any interviews that were too tough. I think I remember Toronto's being really hard. I remember, I can't remember if it was Toronto or Nashville, but I remember getting grilled really hard in one of the interviews, which was pretty unexpected. I think it was my second or third time meeting with them. And so I knew they were, obviously interested in stuff. And I just remember getting ripped because playing at the program when we'd play college teams, sometimes it depends on the college, but they won't dress the top guys for that program game. So I remember them saying how they wouldn't be shocked if I didn't have success at the college level because I'm not playing against the best players every night. And I honestly, how do you even respond to that? Yeah, but I think I was just like, I think I just said I was at the U.S. program, which is the best developmental program in the world. So I think I'll be all set.
Dude, I mean, like, how do you answer that, though? You're like on the spot, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think that's what they want, though. They want you to feel uncomfortable. And, there's a method to all the madness that goes through it. So, everyone has a little bit different experience. But, I was pretty fortunate that mine wasn't too hard, not too many hard-hitting questions.
When you get drafted, did you get any like surreal calls from like people within the Blackhawks organization, like reach out to you to congratulate you?
I think I talked with the GM at the time, Stan.
Yeah.
He called me, so that was pretty cool. And I think I just got a lot of texts from people in the hockey world. They were pretty special. Jake Onger was someone who I looked up to a ton. I still do, still staying in contact with him. And I remember him reaching out and that was pretty special, really nice of him to do that. And that's kind of how our, relationship kind of started. So, I was really grateful just for everyone reaching out, whether it was, you know, someone in the hockey world or, you know, a neighbor, a close friend.
You've gotten an opportunity to go to, you know, some development camps, with the team. What would you say is your biggest takeaway? Not only things like that you're learning on the ice about the professional ranks, but, you know, things off the ice, that you know, your biggest takeaways from that week, you know, whether it's diet, you know, workout regimens, like what would you say is your biggest takeaway from those?
The Blackhawks this summer did all off ice, so it was perfect, and I really liked it, especially as a goalie, and with how late my season went last year with playing the full season up to the last week with BU and the Frozen Four, and then you know, signing Chicago, joining Rockford to finish the year, and then going to the World Championships after that. It was just a lot of hockey that year, and you know, obviously for development camp, if you're skating, you got to prepare, you know, weeks in advance. So yeah, all off ice was amazing. They taught us so much about nutrition, you know, team bonding, a lot of mental skills. We worked out really hard, so I love that part of it. And I think the biggest thing, they're really just instilling such a great culture here, and it's really kind of special and exciting to be the kind of, you know, wave of prospects that you know, is kind of starting it. And yeah, I think the culture is just super special, and just the amount of like good people. You know, I haven't met a bad guy off the ice that they've drafted. You know, spending so much time with them in the development week off the ice, it's just yeah, culture and how good the guys are. And I know, you know, from playing with a lot of successful teams, that's one of the biggest factors is just having great people.
For sure, man. And there was one thing that I wanted to ask you early on that it slipped my mind. I think goalies get a bad rap of being kind of, you know, odd people. And obviously that is not the case with you. I've talked to a bunch of other ones. They're just normal people. Do you have, you know, any odd like pregame regimens or, you know, in-game regimens that you do that someone might think is a little odd or different?
Yeah, I do think goalies get a bad rap. For sure they do. I pride myself in trying to be like the most normal goalie ever.
Dude, just talking to you, like, just, you seem like a normal dude. But again, I think they do get a bad rap. Like, again, I interviewed, I don't know if you know Benny Goudreau. I think he plays for, you know, he's in junior right now. He does like the DUI test before every game. I'm like, well, that's kind of like, it's different. But again, yeah, you seem like a normal dude. But what pregame routines do you have going?
To be honest with you, I have nothing crazy. I think I kind of learned that I maybe might have been in the U.S. program when we were late to a game, and I couldn't do anything other than get dressed. And I played really well, and I was like, "Hey, does, like, if I'm playing well without doing that stuff, how well does it translate?" And yeah, from then, especially this year, my first pro year. I've kind of, you know, really tried to figure out what works for me. And, you know, I'll be the first to say that everyone's different. You know, some guys like to do their own thing and, you know, not talk to anyone. But, yeah, I'm pretty chill before the games. Like game day, you can always come up to me, you know, make jokes with me. You know, I like talking to guys in between periods. Even if I'm playing, I'll go in the trainer's room, you know, share some laughs. I think I'm at my best when I'm really loose and I'm calm. And one thing I picked up really kind of halfway through this year that's helped me a ton is meditation. And I guess that's kind of my one caveat that I do before the game is
I wouldn't even say that's weird, though. I feel like that's just a good way to kind of get even and you know, get even keel. And I wouldn't even say that's necessarily odd. I mean, I've heard some odd things, like, yeah. And people would even say like the Devin Levi, like, you know, doing the same thing, but that's, he's meditating too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, everyone's different and stuff works differently for everyone. And yeah. I just that's what helps for me. And, you know, my kind of thought process was, you know, goaltending is so mental. So I want to make sure I'm mentally ready and mentally prepared just as much as I do physically prepare before the ice. So I'll go and find a quiet spot or have someone kind of map out a quiet spot around the rink if we're on the road. And yeah, just kind of grab a towel, get my headphones and listen to a guided meditation for 15-20 minutes. And Kind of just get in the right headspace, just get calm before the game, you know, maybe do some gratitude and kind of just ground myself before the game. And I found that's really helped. So that's probably the one little thing that I like doing.
Like I said, man, Mikey said the same thing. You're like as normal as they come as far as like goalies go. And you guys definitely get a bad rap. man, one last question for you. And this is for, you know, our podcast, our you know, our page and everything. We've gotten a lot of like kids come on and parents of kids coming on wanting to ask questions and whatnot. And one of the more common ones that we got, I was able to kind of combine into one. And they want to know, you know, for any kid that wants to start playing goalie and you know, improve their game, what pieces of advice would you give to them? You know, ways to improve their game, tips to take their game to the next level. You know, not only things that they can do on the ice, but off the ice as well.
Yeah, I think the first thing is just find ways to have fun with it. Just because it is such a fun position. You know, and it's a little bit different than everyone else on the ice. So, you know, you kind of get to do your own thing at times, which is awesome. And, you know, for me, one tip I'd say is stretching has helped me so much. You know, it's something that I only really did at the rink before games. You know, but you know, the last 4 or 5 years, it's been something that I like doing at home too. And it's helped me a ton. You know, you want to have great flexibility, you know, to make saves and also to stay healthy. So, you know, stretching off the ice, whether it's, you know, 30 minutes a week or 3 hours, kind of find what works for you, doing things like that. And yeah, the biggest thing is just enjoying it. That's what I've noticed, especially this year is, you know, if you're not having fun, you know, doing it, it's a lot harder to get up and go to the rink. And I try and find something to look forward to, you know, going to the rink every day, whether it's, you know, a practice or, you know, playing some ping pong with my friends before or anything. And it's just really enjoying the whole experience, having a great time, you know, being a great teammate, great person and working as hard as you can.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Listen, Drew, I can't thank you enough, you know, taking the time to come on, Drop the Mitts. We're coming up on 42 minutes, so I can't thank you enough, dude. Best of luck to you the rest of the way in Rockford, and I hope to see you in Chicago here soon. There's no doubt in my mind that'll happen sooner rather than later. So again, man, can't thank you enough for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Had a great time, and yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. That's Drew Commesso from the Rockford Ice Hogs joining Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, episode 37. You can catch this on whatever platform you listen to your podcast on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. And again, that's Drew Commesso, unbelievable episode, incredibly talented goaltender. So be sure to check that out. And that is Drop the Mitts Hockey Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Primetime Production. That wraps it up. Stay safe out there, everyone, and take care.